28th day, God made the farmer. But he was not done. He looked down on the wilds of his untamed earth and said, I need someone who will never be broken. And so his greatest work began. First he filled their belly full of guts and their hearts full of try. Then he called them a cowboy. He needed someone who could handle a horse, teach them, tame them, but never break them. Someone whose soul needed the saddle and would not change with the world around them. So God made a cowboy. He needed someone who could find a hot bull in a 100-section pasture, ride a bronc, hold a family together, read a brand, let wrongdoings go, and pull a tight cinch. God needed someone who didn't mind dusty cow pens, smoking branding irons, long days and cold nights. So God made a cowboy. It had to be someone who could make a living with their rope, cow dog, and a few good horses. Someone who would never know a 40-hour week nor care to. He needed to create a proud man, one who would take a stand and whose greatest compliment would be to have his kids called handy. So God made a cowboy. But after he created the cowboy, he was far from done. While his creation was tough and untamed, they need more than just a good horse to share their name. And no ordinary woman would understand the cowboy. God needed to create a woman who didn't want store-bought roses by the dozen, but rather wild flowers, seldom picked and sweet cowboy loving. He needed someone who could take a good custom in the working pens, love unconditionally, and forgive. Someone who could open her own doors, sweep tack room floors, look past muddy boots in the kitchen floors, make a home, hold her own, and have an eye for a good horse. Someone who didn't need lavish and flattery, but would find joy in a spring-born colt. Someone who could raise babies, fix fence, patch jeans, and never waver in the hard times of a cowboy life. So God made a cowboy's wife. And when God fashioned the cowboy and his wife, he made them in his exact image and likeness, and blessed them for all their earthly life. She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle. Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is Tuesday, the 29th of March, and got some interesting things going on here that's happened since yesterday, or in the last few days, I guess. First off, for those of you that are just tuning in, having a little trouble talking there, probably neither one of us will be on tomorrow night. I'll be on the road, most likely, and Amy's not on Wednesday nights anyway. Thursday night, still up in the air. It's kind of doubtful. Friday night, we should be back to normal. Next week, not sure, but I think Thursday night might be a no-go also. Depends on how late our meeting goes that we got in Tucson. So for those of you that are in Tucson or in that area, I need to, sometime here, maybe during a break or a song or something, I'll go get that information. But there's a constitutional study group that meets over there every so often, or once a month or once a week or something. And I'll get the details for you here in a little bit. But one of the Finicum girls will be there talking about the Constitution and about things that her father has done and taught her and whatnot. And they've asked me to speak also. So I'll be there, she'll be there, there's this other deal I'll get to here in just a minute, totally separate story, but it does involve the Finicums. So that's what we got going on, and remind everyone of the Arms Expo coming up in Yakima, Washington, and that will be on the 17th, 18th, and 19th of June. I'm going to stay up there for that whole week if everything goes well. And the 24th, 25th, and 26th will be a 3-day personal defense handgun class. Now, right now, if you sign up here during the early sign-up time, you can get $100 off of that class. Go to southwestshootingauthority.com. Over on the left-hand side, you can go to either the personal defense handgun 3 class page, or just go to the online store and seek out the item that says PDH3 Washington, and you can sign up there. We'll talk more about that once it gets a little bit closer. But right now, let's talk about sissies a little bit. You know, the world is full of them right now. Lots of sissies out there. I thought this was fake. I spent a couple of hours researching it. As a matter of fact, it is the same one. And when it first came out, there was not a whole lot of fanfare. So I did some searching and waiting. And I'm not a real fan of this particular website that this first came out on. usherald.com. I've seen a lot of very questionable stuff on there. So I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. Well, somebody else put it out there from someone, so I got to looking. Found some other websites, and I found out, astonishingly, unbelievably, that it's true. The title for this article. You ready? I suspect you ought to be sitting down. Not have anything sharp in your hands. Keep your hands off of your handgun. Here we go. This is real. College kids demand counseling after being traumatized from seeing a single Confederate flag sticker. College kids demand counseling after being traumatized from seeing a single Confederate flag sticker. Person wrote this article said, "Good Lord, this must be a Thanksgiving Day prank." And this was, I don't know how this got by us. This was back in November. These guys, millennials, I guess, seem to need protection from seeing objectionable things like Confederate flags. No telling how they'd react seeing Christians being beheaded and things blown up here in Belgium and things like that. But this flag is just way too much. This guy had a Confederate flag, battle flag, sticker on his laptop. This came from, let's see, what does it say here? I'm afraid not. This generation of protective bubble wrap students in Massachusetts were likely traumatized by an image, or were actually, not likely, actually traumatized by an image of a Confederate flag sticker on another student's laptop. However, to make the matter even more bizarre, Framingham State University offered counseling services to the traumatized students. You have got to be kidding me right now. The offer came after the university's chief diversity and inclusion officer, Sean Huddleston, described the display of the small Confederate flag sticker as a bias incident. He said the flag and other symbols are not condoned by Framingham State University, stating many see the Confederate flag as an inflammatory symbol of oppression and constant reminder of a dark period in history of the United States in which slavery was illegal. Slavery was illegal. Another typo there, I guess. Probably same people, same university typed up this story. Others simply view the flag as a symbol of shared Southern heritage. Okay, well, anyway, there you go. There's now this ain't the only one. We've got another one here. I'm going to check the chat room and see what's going on here. Hey, Little Fish joined us. Been a while. Glad you made it in here, Little Fish. Let me see who all is in here. Yeah, long slide. I don't know. That's right. Let me check and see what all is going on here. Anything new? Little Fish? Not new. Just haven't seen Little Fish for a while. All right. Well, here's another one. About the same caliber. This was at another school. University of North Dakota. You know, you'd think, well, this professor, actually she's a professoress, I guess, name of Heidi, I don't even know how to pronounce this, looks like a Polish name or something. Anyway, she's making headlines for an open letter she published after being stricken with fear by what she saw out her window. Here's part of the letter. You ought to stay sitting down. Don't pick up anything sharp yet. I look up from my office computer to see two figures in camo with guns outside my window. My first thought is for my students and my safety. I grab my phone, crawl under my desk, and call 911. The dispatcher keeps me on the line until someone can see if ROTC is doing maneuvers. I can barely talk, first with fear, then with rage when the dispatcher reports back, yes, in fact, I've probably just seen ROTC cadets, though they're going to send an officer to check because no one has cleared it with them. They thank me for reporting it. A few minutes later, a university officer calls me back, not to reassure me, but to scold me for calling 911. He says, ROTC has permission to do this exercise. When I tell him that this was news to 911 and that they encouraged me to call whenever I see a gun on campus, he seems surprised. After learning that the ROTC will be conducting drills for the next couple of weeks, she said, well, I guess I'll be calling 911 for the next couple of weeks, and I will. Every time. It's not my job to decide whether people carrying guns at school are an actual threat. It's my job to teach and get home safely to my family. Sounds like it's going to be a long 2 weeks at the University of North Dakota campus. Well, I don't know what else I can add to that. I'm just... USA Kitty, there's a new one. I don't believe I've seen that one before. Welcome, whoever you are and wherever you came from. Glad you stopped in for a little while. All right. Well, let's move on. You know, we there goes Pumpkin Cat with her little walking dude again. Talked quite a bit last night about the feds claiming it's going to cost $6.5 million to clean up the refuge, and I think that we determined pretty well by the time the show was over that they were a bunch of idiots and thieves and liars, scum of the earth type, you know what I mean? Well, Miss Tara Tinney, who is one of Lavoie's daughters, very, very well spoken. She really does good in front of the cameras. She's been interviewed about this, and I haven't listened to this yet because I just found it a few minutes before the show came on, so we're going to listen to this together. And I'm not too worried about her cussing or anything, so I think it's going to be all right. Let's check this out.
Friends and family of the Oregon Wildlife Refuge occupier attacking the federal government's claims that the protests caused millions of dollars of damage. KUER's Judy Faze reports.
Last week, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service estimated that the armed occupation at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge had cost taxpayers nearly $6 million. The tally included damaged buildings, equipment, cultural artifacts, and natural resources. But Utah family and friends of the occupiers say their pictures show that the protesters were tidy and careful during their 41-day protest of what they call federal overreach. Utah gun rights activist Jana Lee Tobias says she saw firsthand that the occupiers were good stewards.
There was no broken windows. There wasn't even a piece of paper out of place. They respected the property because that's the kind of people that they are.
Tara Tenney also disputed the damage reports. Her father, Lavoie Finicum, was killed by state troopers at a roadblock outside the refuge in January. She met with reporters at the Utah State Capitol Tuesday to say the damage claim is absurd.
I know that the government is not forthright and honest, and this is just one more testimony of how corrupt and fraudulent and dishonest they are.
The Fish and Wildlife Service photos released last week tell a different story. Miel Corbett is an agency spokeswoman. She said the mess the illegal occupiers left includes everything from ruined carpet and missing personal equipment to a trench and a road dug into Native American sites.
This cost is being borne by the taxpayer directly from the Fish and Wildlife Service's budget.
Federal investigators scoured the site for evidence after the occupation ended 6 weeks ago. Workers are now putting the refuge facilities back together. Judy Faze, KUER News.
There you go. And there's all the time that the Patriots were there, they called it armed occupation. Well, technically, I guess that's probably true. But why do they have to bring that up? It's not, isn't like they took it over at gunpoint and there was no shootout, no standoff. No, they keep calling it standoff. It was not a standoff. Standoff means that usually means one of them scared and the other one damn glad of it, is what it amounts to. But that wasn't the case at all. The people came and went as they pleased. And they went to the store and they went to church. They went to talk to people. They did meetings and stuff. And that's not what your typical standoff is. So there's lots of pictures, lots of video to support the fact that these dirty, rotten, lying, scumbag feds have created this. They have trashed this place, blaming it on the Patriots, and are trying to get the taxpayers to give them a nice, tidy sum of money, $6.5 million. Are you kidding me? Like I said last night, I would gladly clean that place up by myself. For a cool $1 million, I wouldn't have any problem with that. And I'd do a good job, too. $6.5 million. You're going to be joking. Well, anyway. Let me tidy up my desktop here a little bit. Be right back.
She said I need some time to find myself. I need a little space to think. And maybe we should start seeing other people. Baby, things are moving way too fast for me. So I picked up what was left of my pride. I put on my walking shoes. And I got up on that high road. And I did what any gentleman would do. I got a brand new girlfriend. We went and jumped off a deep end. Flew out to LA for the weekend. Spent the whole day lying on the beach where nothing but a smile playing. Kissy, kissy, smoochy, smoochy, talking mushy, mushy about nothing. Man, I think I'm on to something. Because I feel just like a kid again. When she calls me Buttercup, she laughs and says I left the toilet seat up. She pops the top for me a cold beer and says my buddy's always welcome here. When I get hungry, she takes me out. I ride a shotgun like a Shih Tzu hound. My tail's a wagon, my tongue's hanging out. It makes me want to shout.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the imbecile bar has been hailed, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills that is waiting for me
there. Well, speaking of, talk about the refuge here. There was, early on when this started out, and there were so many disparaging remarks from the feds and everybody. Well, one guy decided that decided he'd go check it out for himself. He said there's so much stuff.
It's shocking, I tell you that much.
Oh, will you please stop?
Is dead after her mother accidentally.
Let's see here if I can make this quit.
A very nice young lady. Carla and I, she went back and forth to school.
Why, these automatic playing things just drive me nuts.
St. Cloud police say just before midnight, the homeowner was
asleep in her
bed.
Let's see if I can stop this.
She thought she heard an intruder enter the house and quickly began approaching.
Not only do they play automatically, they don't let you stop. I tell you what, we'll just turn this one off. Just shut this whole website down here. If I could. All right, looks like we managed to get it. We'll see what happens. Actually, it looks like Firefox is froze up, so I guess nothing's going to happen as long as it's froze up. All right, there we go. Okay, where was I? We got, here we go. They put it in quotes here, the armed takeover of federal building, he says, which was actually a public building. Branded all of them domestic terrorists. Well, one guy decided he'd go and see for himself and not listen. Said he was shocked at what he found. He talked to two or three different people while he was there. Pete Santilli and Dwayne, what was Dwayne's name? Started with an E. Elman or Emin or something, I don't remember. Anyway, he says, what inspired you to come down here? The guy said, I heard that somebody took over a building down here in Burns at gunpoint, and I wanted to come down and get the real story. And what did you discover when you came down? Well, I came down. It was a real peaceful situation. Nobody, no maniacs running around with guns all over, shooting or nothing like that. The interviewer said, okay, a building's been taken over? No. Did you, were you able to get in there? Yeah. You were? They went in and they tried to feed me. They did. Yeah, a nice bunch of people. And they just need a solution to this problem. What's the problem based on the conversations you were having? Based on the conversation I had with everybody, the problem is BLM overstepped their bounds and started taking away from the common ranchers in the area. And one after one, ranchers went out of business. And this is what they've been doing for the past few years. Hang on, stand by a minute. Interviewer said, yeah, you know what I've heard is interesting. This is, I want to convey this to you. I heard this since the 1900s. Over 100 ranchers have been run off this land here. And I know he's reading this whole interview here. It's just, it's too long, but. Anyway, it was funny that he went in there and they tried to feed those ornery domestic terrorists. Actually, tried to feed this guy. Unbelievable! The audacity of some people. Tried to provide him with a meal while he was out there trying to get facts from these domestic terrorists. I don't know. Long slide, looks like you and Eddie Crump are the entire Washington faction tonight. Don't know where everybody's at. I'm missing a bunch of people tonight for some reason. All right, let's see here. Now here, this is an interesting thing, and don't say we haven't talked about this on the shooting bench a number of times. We started getting real. We've actually talked about it. If C7 was in there tonight, we've talked about stuff like this happening since probably about 2008, something like that, is when we really started to talk about it. Not nearly as seriously, but we've talked about it. And then 2 years ago, we started getting pretty serious about this. And now, just yesterday, the United States Air Force comes out with a warning that North Korea may be launching nuclear weapons and causing an EMP event. Yep. U.S. Air Force recently held a briefing on the threat posed by a North Korean ship off the U.S. coast. According to experts, North Korea is testing missiles to launch a nuclear weapon from a ship off the U.S. coast into the atmosphere. This explosion could shut off electricity for months through an electromagnetic pulse explosion. Anyway, one of the things North Korea has been doing is pushing propaganda videos regularly showing missiles raining down on America. And this little pipsqueak little dictator of theirs has announced his intention to wipe out Manhattan by sending the hydrogen bomb on a ballistic missile. Be a lot easier if he's on the right side of the United States, but anyway. And of course, Obama, I think, was playing golf or dancing or doing something there, but he doesn't appear to be taking these threats very seriously. But, you know, it's pretty interesting. If you go and look at, hey, there's Catapon. Good. Welcome, buddy. I haven't seen you for a while. We had Chip Taylor in here with us about, what was it, a year and a half ago, something like that. And we had a whole show on nothing but EMP protection and whatnot. And it was right after, either just before or just after we read the book, One Second After. If you haven't read that book yet, you really need to think about getting into that. It's a great, great book. Hard to put down. And very interesting, very very well researched and everything. And I think you could learn a lot from it. But we after that, we started getting a little more ambitious, a little more serious about protecting things around here. And nobody knows if this were to happen. Now, you can go on the internet, go on YouTube, and look up Electronic Armageddon. We talked about this before, but it's been over a year ago. Electronic Armageddon. It's about 50 minutes long, 45, 50 minutes long, something like that. And this was put out by the History Channel. Very interesting. Kind of disturbing when it's found that they had intercepted two missiles from North Korea on a Chinese container, actually made it all the way into the country. And I might be wrong about that. They may have intercepted them before they got here. I don't remember. But nevertheless, they were either headed here or was already here, one or the other. And then they had that satellite go in at 300 miles above the above land there, which apparently this was a ideal height for getting maximum effect out of an EMP, out of a nuclear explosion in the atmosphere. So a lot of things have gone. It ain't like this was just some fantasy, some BS that somebody pulled out of the closet here and threw it against the wall to see if it would stick. And there's quite a bit of documentation here, quite a bit of confirmation that North Korea is in fact thinking about something like this. So this just gives it a little more credence coming from the Air Force right now. And so I think that, you know, we see this stuff happening, we hear about it on the news, and we think it's a terrible thing, and yeah, it's getting close, and you see, I told you so, and all that. But how many of you are really doing anything about it? I know some of you are. I know good and well some of you are doing it. We've talked about it before. But I also know just as well that some of you are not. There are at least a few things that you don't have to go all out. I know people that's gone way all out, and they've put in generators and extra, buying extra computers and just all kinds of stuff, and putting it in these Faraday cages, protecting it. Not there's anything wrong with that if you can afford that. That's a great thing. But if you can't, there's still a few things that might not be a bad idea to put away. And certainly, I think probably, possibly number one on that list is going to be communications devices, radios. Rating to both walkie-talkie type radios and an AM/FM radio of some kind, battery-powered, preferably. And they say, well, why do you want to do that? If power goes out, you know, you're not going to be able to listen to anything. Well, I know that there's other people out there that have protected radios and stuff, and I know that as soon as it's possible, that this will start coming back together. So I may not hear anything the first day. I may not hear anything the first month. But sooner or later, we're going to hear other people out there. And we're going to start getting news from other parts of the country and around the world. And, you know, the scariest thing about this EMP deal is the fact that if it's an attack, then we're the only ones that's going to be affected. Think about that a minute. Let that soak in just a second. If we're the only ones affected by this, where does that leave us compared if North Korea or China or Russia or all of the above decides they want to come to America and partake of our bounty? There's not going to be a whole lot to stop them. It's going to be pretty tough. All these gun owners that we're so proud of saying we got 100 million gun owners, well, that's fine. But if we can't communicate with each other, and if our cars don't run, and our trucks don't run, and our flashlights don't work, and any of our electronic, you know, computers, GPS, all this kind of stuff don't work, we're not going to be that effective. It's going to be a little tough fighting North Koreans or anybody else. I mean, look at, you know, if the whole world is not affected by this and it's just us, boy, we better hope we've got some allies out there somewhere, somebody that Obama hasn't pissed off already, that will come to our aid, or we're going to be in a little bit of a sticky wicket. Long slide, you're right about that. Everybody read Lavoie Finicum's book, Only by Blood and Suffering. Get it. Do it. So that's one of the things that keeps gnawing on me here is, do I have enough done? How long is it going to be? How long is it going to last? How many other people are getting prepared? How many other people are doing the same thing? I mean, there's just a million things to think about. And really, if it weren't for the fact that we may... Now, if it's a CME, if it's something that is natural, then it's going to affect, depending on what side of the earth that we're on at the time, it's going to affect other countries as well as us, depending on, you know, which way we're pointing here. But that kind of puts everybody on an equal playing field. Your AR, you know, your, for those of you that have electronic sights and stuff, EOTechs and all that kind of stuff. Well, EOTech's not electronic, is it, or is it? One of them is operated by, I don't have any of them, and don't ever plan on getting one of them. But there's lots of electronic sights and electronic doohickeys out there. And need to be prepared to get along without that kind of stuff. You know, it's fine as long as it works. When it quits working, you need to start looking at other options. You need to look at those options now and not after this happens. There just seems to be a higher likelihood that something like this could possibly happen, and certainly in our lifetime. Pumpkin Cat, I know you can only do what you can do. That's true, and it's when you're on the limited income, when you're not independently wealthy. I don't know. You know, the funny thing is, I wonder how Donald Trump and some of these other rich people, wonder if they think they're just going to buy their way out of it, or if they're actually using all this money to to their benefit and doing something with it. I guess we'll find out one of these days. I'll be back in a minute. Wow. That is a very quick way to play that song. Let's see if we can slow that down just a little bit. There we go. Paralyzed with fear for seeing the ROTC working out there. Unbelievable. Well, we do have at least one, well, actually at least two good sheriffs in Oregon. And a lot of you have heard this name before, Sheriff Gilbertson, Gil Gilbertson, is continuing to stand against the Forest Service. We've had, I don't know how many sheriffs there are in Nevada, Oregon. There's at least two in Oregon. And we've got a couple in Nevada that I know of that have been very strong at standing against the feds. And consequently, you don't hear of nearly the amount of problems in these states as you do in some other ones. But in Josephine County, Oregon, some of you that's been around since the Watchman days, you'll... Josephine County kind of rings a bell there. A couple of months ago, a couple of years ago, Sheriff Gilbertson drafted a 10-page report looking at the extent of federal power within the state and emailed his findings to all the various parties concerned here. And Sheriff Gilbertson continues to fight the Forest Service, the BLM, and he's continuously trying to open up road closures and things that the BLM has created. So he said, if I'd told you 2 years ago that I'd be writing such a document, I would have probably walked away from you shaking my head. He said, this paper is a result of a clash with the U.S. Forest Service law enforcement in this county from citizens complaining of what can only be described as harassment and violation of their rights. First time I approached the Forest Service, the door closed regarding any discussion. Forest Service advised me to file a Freedom of Information request. One has to wonder how long is this going to continue like we're doing it right now? Without a doubt, the natives are getting restless from coast to coast and border to border. Natives are getting restless. They've just about had enough. But when is enough enough? I keep thinking I'm going to wake up one day and find out that some poor rancher somewhere has just had all he could take. Or that somebody that owns a mine or a logging company or a trucking company or a drilling company or employees thereof that may be losing their homes, can't feed their families, getting divorces, suicides, bankruptcies. All this stuff created by the federal government. And I just can't help but think that one of these days that somebody's going to say, you know what, I'm at my wit's end. I've tried everything that I can try. I don't know what else to do. And someday we're going to wake up and somebody will have fired that first shot. Now, of course, it can be argued that the first shot was fired by the feds a long time ago. They fired the first shot at Ruby Ridge. They fired the first shot at Waco. They fired the first shot at Lavoie-Finicum 2 months ago. They fired the first shot with Hammonds. They fired the first shot with that rancher. Well, that was a county thing. I'm talking about the rancher in Idaho, but that was a county sheriff. But it seems like the first shot has been fired over and over again. But apparently we're not getting the message. I'm not sure what's going on there. I know that everybody wants to see a peaceful resolution to this. It is nice that we've got at least one lawmaker out there that is trying to take away the feds, particularly the BLM and Forest Service, their law enforcement authority. Another one's trying to take away their guns and put things back like it was. You know, it was bad enough when I was a kid, actually when I was an adult, that we had BLM, Forest Service, and Parks and Recreation, all these places out there that were unarmed. Indiana, Popa, whatever that is. Or Indian, not Indiana, Indian. Anyway, I've screwed up your name bad enough, but welcome to the Shooting Bench anyway. Thanks for dropping in. It's bad enough that all these agencies did not have guns back then. And they, when they wanted to destroy your life, they did it through, a long trail of paperwork and over a long period of time and all that. Now they just come up and shoot you. So I can't see that taking away their guns is necessarily a bad thing. Now, let me ask you something here. Have you heard Other than the fact of maybe a few poachers, have you heard of any criminals, real criminals? I'm not talking about patriots. Have you heard of any criminals being apprehended, or any shootouts, or any self-defense situations that involved firearms by federal people other than DEA, FBI, things like that, U.S. Marshals and whatnot? But as far as forest rangers and BLM rangers and officers and stuff, do they use those guns for anything except to harass honest people? To destroy people's lives? Terrorize citizens? What else do they use them for? It's a sad world we live in. Anyway, from Mesquite, Nevada. I know exactly where Mesquite is. Indian out. Tell me if I'm saying this wrong. Indian Papa? Is that what that is? P-O-P-A? Indian Popa? Indian Papa? Anyway, yeah, I was at Bunkerville a couple of different times while all that was going on up there. And there's another prime example of family being destroyed by BLM. And by the way, I told you last week I had the what I would consider a divine opportunity to go out and do some branding with the last man standing in the Bundy family. We had young, I forgot if it's Arden or Arlen, Bundy, come over to the Finnicums and helped us brand a few calves. And I'll tell you, that kid is quite the damn cowboy. You could tell for a matter of fact that this was definitely not his first rodeo. He's been around the block a time or two. I've got a video coming up, and I may try to work on it a little bit tonight, of some of the things that we did during this branding. I'm going to pick a song to put it to, and I'll try to get this done. If I don't get it tonight, I'll have it by Monday for sure, after I've had a weekend to work on it. But that ought to turn out to be pretty good. We had a lot of fun out there, and got several little clips we can throw in there. Let me go back over here, and we got a couple of gun-related things I wanted to try to get to. If I can find them. I guess you heard about the gal that was, I think I may have mentioned this, about the gal that was demanded Trump's assassination and got fired. I think I talked about that. Let's see, I had a gun-related deal here. Oh, you heard about the, as long as we're on the EMP deal, you heard, I told you, 2 weeks ago, about the two Hellfire missiles that were bound for Portland. Now, they caught them while they were still in, I think it was Syria, and they never made it there, but that's still a little disconcerting to think that people are trying to do that. But here's a totally unrelated story, not related to anything else we've been talking about so far. But back in the day when I was running the gun shop there in Farmington and all that, we sold a lot of these little guns. It was they were called Skys, S-C-C-Y. And I tell you, those are great, great little guns. They're cheap, they're reliable. There ain't a thing in the world wrong with them. They probably won't stand up to hard training and use for years on end, like the Glocks, the 1911s, and the SIGs, and some of them. They're not. But for $300, what do you expect? You know, we sold oodles and gobs of them for $299. But I want you to try to help me figure this out. I was reading this, and I kind of read it in a hurry, and it may be simpler than I'm trying to make it here. But for those of you that are, if you're considering buying a very modestly priced self-defense gun, you know, you got several decent choices out there. A lot of used revolvers. You know, you can find used Glocks for $399, $350 here and there. But if you want to buy a new one, complete with warranty and everything else, this little Sky is a great gun. There's also another one out there, the Bursa Thunder 380. It's another damn good little gun. Anyway, let's help me figure this out. It says Sky has always had a lifetime theft warranty. They said this warranty now may have had unintended consequences, like enabling a short time to crime gap for the brand. That is, that the time elapsed between a legal sale or reported theft and lost and when a firearm is associated with a crime. I'm really having a hard time even understanding this sentence here. BATF contacted the company about an unusual amount of Sky pistols being tied to criminal activity, the unusual part being the time to crime, not the volume recovered. I'm just going to read this, and you can see if you can help me sort it out. I'm going to watch the chat room here when we get done. Hang on just a second. Wait just a minute here. Still got a little bit of a cough there, but it's going away. Okay. Although we regret it, the above has led Sky as a responsible corporate citizen to the decision that this program must be drawn to a close. This is another instance where a few bad apples have spoiled it for honest civilians. However, in the interest of public safety and welfare, we have no choice but to abolish the program. According to the company's website, Sky makes 9mm subcompact pistols that retail for $334. Trace data published by the ATF excludes brands, so it's unclear the exact number of Sky pistols traced to crimes, but the materials do cover general details about crime guns. Looking at trace data from 2014, the most recent year available, authorities recovered 131,562 semi-automatic pistols, of which 47,249 of them were 9mm. Obviously the most common caliber gun recovered. Sky is a relatively young firearms company. Okay. So I'm not sure exactly what this meant. I was interested, and I was hoping maybe some of you in the chat room would help me figure this out. I read this story, and it makes absolutely no sense to me for some reason. Now, maybe I'm just stupid. Maybe it's plain as the nose on your face, but to me, it's about as clear as mud. So it seems to go back to a couple of paragraphs here. This one says, the generous warranty may have had unintended consequences, like enabling a short time-to-crime gap for the brand. That is, the time elapsed between a legal sale or reported theft loss and when a firearm is associated with a crime. I don't understand how there's a theft warranty on this and what that has to do with this time-to-crime gap. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms contacted... I don't get it. I'm going to go to the chat room here. You guys see there's a little bit of delay in there. Maybe some of you are... obviously, most of you are smarter than me. So maybe you can enlighten me with your wisdom here. I don't get it. The only reason I brought this up here is because I honestly do want to find out. So let me back up here a little bit. All right, Indiana Papa, thank you for putting that on there and clearing that up for me. And hopefully, I've got a little bit of a cold, so I kind of got things going down, turned the mic off so I could cough and everything. So hopefully that won't keep you from coming back and joining us another time here. Catapon, brother. We've come over to the dark side. Catapon's got him a brand new, well, I don't know about brand new, but he's got him a Glock 17. Outstanding. Very good. I know Catapon has been, as I recall, a pretty staunch 1911 fan before this, if I'm correct. Let's see here. Doc's still trying to keep revolvers in fashion there. I think revolvers kind of ran out with running boards on cars for a lot of people. Doc's still keeping them going there. I'm not a big fan anymore, as much as I was. But anyway, I want you guys to think about that. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm serious. I want some help with that. I need some help understanding this. I'm as serious as lip cancer. I want to put this story in the chat room. I want y'all to read it and see if you can help me come up with an answer as to what in the world these people are talking about in this story. I don't get it. So I'm going to stick this in here. And you've got probably 48 hours to get an answer for me. I am going to ask. When I come back on the air, I want to find out what that means. Indiana Papa, there's really, for all intents and purposes, there's no 7mm handgun ammo. There's, what was there, a 7x something. But there's no modern American 7mm handgun ammo unless you're talking about Contender or something like that. So anyway, to answer your question, 38, vastly easier to get than 7mm. Oh, 9mm, okay. Probably not too much difference in the two of them. 9mm might be a little easier, a little more common, but it wouldn't be by much, if any. The thing about the 9mm is it's a NATO round. It's available in practically every civilized country in the world. They ship it over here. There's all kinds of surplus. There's all kinds of imports. Lots and lots of 9mm out there. But the 38's been around since, 1898 or whatever it was. And it's about as common as dirt, too. So the 9mm is a little more effective than the 38, even though you look at the two cartridges side by side, it seems that the 38 would be immensely more powerful and more effective. It is not. It's not nearly as fast as the 9mm. And if you got good quality bullets in it, that 9mm is it's the real deal. There's no, we can talk all the smack people want to about 9mm being a 45 set on stun, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be the one to step out there and prove that. The 9mm is an excellent choice if you're looking at a semi-automatic. If you're looking at a revolver, I would say go with a 357 Magnum, shoot 38s in it when you want to practice. You want reduced recoil and muzzle flash, but you can always move on to the 357 Magnum when you need the additional violence there, which the 357 provides plenty of. Is 9mm cheaper? Yes, it is. 9mm is almost always cheaper than 38, especially if you look at the same quality of bullets. Now, if you get into the defensive, something that is designed for defensive use, they're practically the same cost. If you look at anything, your gold dots, the golden sabers, SXTs, any of those, they come in boxes of 20 or 25. Corbons, yeah, that's another one. They're going to be virtually the same price. But if you're looking at practice stuff that comes in boxes of 50, the 9mm is probably, if you're getting equal quality, the 9mm is going to be cheaper. 38s have always been cheaper because you could get those in lead bullets, oftentimes in wad cutters, semi-wad cutters. They were $3 a box for the longest time. But the 9mm is still probably the better bargain, especially if you want to buy in bulk. If you want to buy the 1,000, I think the 9mm would probably be the way to go. Let's see. Yeah, Doc, I'd have to say that's probably a fair estimate. That's why a unnamed firearm training place in Nevada says that any gun will do if you will do. And that's fine as long as you're not looking at multiple attackers and speed reloads and stuff like that. If you're looking at one guy in the bedroom at 4 o'clock in the morning, then the 1858 Remington would probably be just fine. Plenty of gun. All right. Well, we've just rambled on here and having so much fun and can't hardly stand it until we're run over our time here. So let's start easing towards the door. And I'll see you all. I'll know sometime early tomorrow. I'm still waiting on a text right now to see if I'm going to be on tomorrow night. If I'm on tomorrow night, I will definitely be on Thursday. If I am not on tomorrow night, I probably won't be on Thursday either. So I will just have to play that by ear there. But we managed to get 2 days in a row out of the way, so we'll see you all next time I see you, and thanks for joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.